Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Aloha. This is Janine, and you're listening to Lunch with Loudon. Coffee Talk radio shows are part of the Coffee Party Be the Media Project. You can join our team at www.coffeepartyusa.com/volunteer. Can't wait to get your message. Can't wait. So, it's fall in the Oregon Coast Range, and the reason I can tell is that there's road repair right outside my house. That sounds kind of awesome and makes my Great Dane Jack growl and bark. So I'll be hot on the mute button for myself today, and hopefully that won't interfere with anything. But if you hear what sounds like a microsecond of dog bark, that's me going for the mute. Gary Lynn, Portlandia, is it fall there today too?
Absolutely. I've got my sweater on. I got my warm drink at hand. I'm ready to go. It's a beautiful, beautiful fall weather day.
Okay, so here's the Oregonian test. Are you wearing socks with your Birkenstocks or socks with your sandals?
I do not own Birkenstocks.
It's just a matter of time.
Socks, but I do have socks on. That is for sure.
Well, I've got socks with my Teva on, so I'm an Oregonian.
Okay, there you go.
So listen, everybody. I'm digging down into your most the spot inside of you that has the most integrity, because I really want to have a definitive conversation about who we are in the matter of governance. And the cut that Debbie Lynn and I are taking on this today is kind of starts out with, do you ever wonder, who is the they, you know, T-H-E-Y, they, that we always hear about? I hear a lot of talk about what grassroots America wants from Washington, D.C. and from state capitals around America. Who says they represent me? When do I get to be a part of they? It's sort of a, it's kind of a news conversation of humor or jovility right now about, Senator Cruz and his filibuster against Obamacare. You know, he read Green Ink and Ham, but he said that he was representing the grassroots. He used that term specifically. And I thought I was a part of the grassroots, and I don't feel represented here at all. And so what it sort of comes down to for me is this really just a way of saying my constituency? You know, that would certainly be legitimate. If he's reading Green Ink and Ham for his constituency, well, more power to him. But as Debbie Lynn and I asked in our blog today and on our post about the show, who are you? What do you want? Does your congressional delegation, you know, what do they think you want? And are you willing to set them straight? Are you willing to actually let people know? There have been posts all over Coffee Party Land and links and conversation about now is the time. As we approach the end of the federal fiscal year, now is the time. If you have never contacted your representative in the House or your senators and let them know what you want to have done in terms of the American budget, the priorities demonstrated in the American government budget. If you've never done it before and you're never going to do it again, now would be the time to actually let Washington, D.C. know what we, the grassroots, apparently, or at least their constituents, think. They are supposed to be our surrogates. You know, they represent us in these matters. And unfortunately, you know, we talk time and time again about how difficult that is for them, given their dependence on campaign contributors. And as Lawrence Lessig puts it, the favoritism or the appearance of favoritism that goes towards big campaign funders as opposed to we, the voters, the constituents, the grassroots. And so I'm curious today about what you think about specific details of where this political fiscal theater is going, what you want to tell your representatives and your senators, and whether or not you've done that. You know, it's an important time. So we have one hand up. I thought I would have to talk a lot more, and I'm going to open the mic for area code 641. 641,
hello.
Welcome to Lynch with Loudon, and who am I speaking with today?
Hi, Janine. Hi, Debbie Lynn. It's Bob Woodburn. How are you?
Bob, welcome to the show, and the best to you. What do you have to share with our listeners today?
Well, the question of the day is, who are the grassroots? And the problem is that the grassroots, as our elected officials and the media define that term, change with every poll. And the reason they change with every poll is that if they aren't polling the same people over and over and over again, just, you know, to find a perfectly representative sample and stick with it, and thereby defining not only who the grassroots are, but what they think as well by selection for the poll and keeping them around from issue to issue to issue, then the grassroots should be every living, breathing human being outside of the government in question that seeks to gain their own representation through their self-representation to their ostensible representatives. I know that sounds convoluted, but that's about the best way I can express it.
Right, doesn't it kind of remind you of the, what is it called, the Framingham, the Farmingham health study that's been going on for like 40 or 50 years now? They took a population in one city and they have monitored the health behavior and health outcomes of these people way over time. And so they have a set group, and they've been the revelations to medical science have been amazing. But that was only possible because there was a definition to the group. And I'm with you. What I see is that every time we ask the question, we ask a different group of people. And plus, have you ever answered a survey, a telephone survey?
Actually, yeah, I have a number of times.
So do you feel like this was I've done it a few times, and one of the times I felt like there was no right answer. You know what I mean? It's like, when did you stop feeding your wife kind of question.
Leading questions and push polls are my favorite for an obvious reason. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
And it's like, I don't know what they do with me because I go, wait, no answer. There's no answer to that. And
my absolute favorite was when I was invited to a Mitt Romney call-in,
mm-hmm.
and I asked who his selection among any of the justices would have been other than John Marshall. And
mm-hmm.
what I found hysterical is they had time to get, you know, answers or questions from everybody else. But at the close of the show, somebody else from Pella came in on the call and said, basically, you're a wonderful man, yada 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 yada, good night. And my question never got answered.
Yeah, the old duck and cover strategy.
That's what it felt like to me. I mean, I was an Obama supporter going in, but an Obama supporter with an open mind. which is what he himself asked us to be.
Right.
Keep an open mind about those for whom you will vote, because it's very important.
And so
I tried that and discovered that that didn't do a whole lot of good.
Well, you know, I have a lot of, I eat a lot of crow, having done radio shows now for over a year. And I think sometimes people ask questions that are very difficult to answer, or
right.
that I'm not prepared to answer. And I think it takes, I try to take the high road and say, I don't know, do any other callers know the answer to this? I'm going to get on that and I'll answer you on my, I'll answer you on the Lunch with Loudon Facebook page. And,
yeah,
you know, it takes a lot of humility, which I'm not sure is the criteria for running for president. But in all fairness, does your congressional delegation know how you feel about any of the elements in this current fiscal conversation in general?
Absolutely not, and they don't need to, because I know who Dave Loebsack is, okay? There is no way that he would side with the Tea Party on something like this. I don't even need to call him. I mean, one thing you know about Iowa and its delegation, you know exactly where all of them stand, okay? You know where Braley stands. You know where Steve King stands. You know where Charles Grassley stands. You know where Tom Harkin stands. You know where Dave Loebsack stands. I mean, Iowa, as far as its delegation goes, is very ideologically extremist at one side or the other.
Uh-huh.
Hard left, hard right, not much middle ground.
Interesting. So I think this is a valid point of view you bring up. If you actually know, like I'm in frequent communication with my congressional delegation, and
I've got a letter sitting right here from him on Syria. I called his office about the airstrike spots, and he wrote me a nice 2-page letter back. I mean, when I call his office, I don't have a problem in the world finding out what his opinion is.
Hey, so why don't you share with our listeners what it's like? Oh, it is great, David. Why don't you share with our listeners what it's like to call an office in D.C.? Because I think I've tried to share before how easy it is. But I think until you've done it the first time, it's intimidating.
Usually what happens is, you call in, the elected representative never answers the phone. It's always somebody on their staff. Don't ask me why, but it is. All you do is you give them your zip code, and they use that to determine priority of response. If you're not in their constituency, they save you for later if they get to you at all. They want you at the right number. They want you at the right number so that the proper person to deal with you, both as a staff person and as a representative or senator, is dealing with you. So
excellent.
You give them your zip code, you give them your full name, and you tell them exactly and precisely what you think. And they will either say, yes, I understand, or don't you think, and they will engage you in debate. And by the time you're done, you actually either get whatever's on your chest off your chest, or you get to engage in a colloquy that may inform your own opinion. It's well worth the time if the issue is of sufficient concern to you.
Well, I couldn't agree more. You know, when I went to Citizen Lobby Day with Coffee Party just after the Enough is Enough citizen intervention, I sat in all three offices, my senators, Wyden and Merkley, and my representative, DeFazio. And, of course, while you're sitting there waiting for your appointment to happen, you watch the people answer the phone. You watch and hear the people answer the phone. And I have to tell you, they're, A, very happy for you to call. As a matter of fact, that's their job. They sit and wait for that call. They're all prepared.
It breaks up their day, too.
Right. Well, and at least at that time, and in that experience, that phone never stopped ringing. And that person merely sat at the phone. They are polite. They're usually young, like interns or new to the Congress. And they make very clear that they've taken down, that they understand what you want. So I don't think anyone should be afraid of calling. It's a very civil
and... No, there's no reason
to
be afraid.
Right. Now, there's always an email opportunity, but go ahead.
And I just want to point out, too, that I have also called not just the D.C. office, but I also call local offices. So there's always the local office, and sometimes I actually know the staffers in the local office.
Right.
And
with my transportation difficulties, it's easier to call Washington because I'm never going to set foot in either place.
Right. So it's just sometimes, and it's actually easier when I've been traveling, it's been easier to get appointments in D.C.
Right.
Than in the local office. But sometimes when I call, I can even call both offices, it doesn't matter. But call any of the offices.
Right.
You don't have to call the D.C. office, but definitely make sure you call.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. The reason I tend to call D.C., the other reason, is because it takes less time for the information to move up the chain of command if you're calling command headquarters.
Right. Well, and I do think that it's important to get that this phone call is really only one way to communicate with these people. And obviously, if you go to Senate...
Right, you can send a handwritten letter...
Well,
you can send a handwritten letter, you can email them, you know, whatever.
Right. They recommend postcards instead of letters because they have to be opened in hazardous material environment because of the history of anthrax in the mail. So it takes several weeks for your letter to be opened, and it's immediate for your postcard to be read. And those of you that know me know that I'm a big fan of postcards. I send a postcard to somebody almost every day about something. It's about, yes, I like this, no, I don't like that, thank you for doing this, shame on you for doing that. And it's not only targeted on to my congressional delegation, because sometimes there are just folks out there that need to know what we, the constituents, and the grassroots are thinking. As a matter of fact, And a matter of fact, I'm curious about all the ways that people communicate what they think. I mean, I probably get a half a dozen petitions or surveys or questionnaires on my email every day. And I see that area code 513 has your hand up. Bob, may I lead you on while we go to this caller? Maybe there's an answer to that question.
Okay.
Thanks. Area code 513, welcome to Lunch with Loudon.
I kind of got lost somewhere in that last couple things you said about answer some part.
About what part? I'm sorry.
I know. What was that last thing you said about answer something?
Anthrax.
Oh, yeah, we talked about anthrax. But also, no, I get surveys and petitions and requests every day in my email. And I'm wondering how people feel about responding to those. I respond to them all. But also, Laura, how do you let your delegation know what you expect of them in this upcoming financial debate?
Well, to be honest with you, hon, I'm surprised you guys have been so tickled pink with your calls and emails, because whenever I email mine, I usually get back a notice that says box full.
A notice of what?
The email box is full. That their box is full.
Oh,
they can't
get
any more emails because their email boxes are full.
I've never heard of that happening. So now we know something new. So how do you feel about calling, and how do you feel about signing petitions or participating in group actions?
Well, kind of one thing at a time. A call, I've never called Washington, D.C. I've called the state and was told that, you know, they were in Washington, D.C., and that was the end of it. Nobody that answered the phone tried to engage me. Letters that I've written, I've gotten back what were obviously form letters that didn't really directly respond to what I wrote. I've been very disappointed in any type of communication that I've tried.
So,
and I don't know if it's my approach or what.
So did that? Do you interpret that to mean you shouldn't let them know? I mean, is their response to you what you're looking for, or are you trying to let them know what you want?
I interpret that to mean they could care less, and it's file 13. That's how I interpret it.
Hmm. Okay. And I guess there are other opportunities available. Now, do you participate in actions or, you know, like petitions or things that groups, you know, might do to try to make their point? I guess I'm pointing to this. Dan Aronson did a great show on Monday night about the blooming relationship between Represent Us and the Coffee Party, and where he was talking about the Anti-Corruption Act and how basically Represent Us is trying to have all members of the House of Representatives express their support or lack of support for the Anti-Corruption Act. Root Strikers has a project called On the Record. And basically the question is, do you believe the unending chase for money has corrupted politics? And they give you an opportunity to submit, to either ask the question of your elected or submit evidence of their position. And then Wolfpack is calling for the reverse of Citizen United to restore democracy and join the fight for fair and free elections. And that's just like off the top of my head. And then Coffee Party has done petitions in the past, and we've other organizations do this as well. And I guess the point is that, you know, when we're saying who is the grassroots, are they merely the constituents? There are times when we speak to the entire Congress, or the times we speak to the entire State House. And it's important, I think, for us to hone our skills and also to actually be proactive or be active, so that there's no excuse for their not knowing how we feel about things. And as I said in the beginning of the show, it's like if there was ever a time to let your elected or let anyone you want to tell in Congress how you feel, what your budgetary philosophy is, what your budgetary priorities are, and what you expect of them, what you expect them to do, then this is the time. You never do it again, and if you've never done it before, you need to do this now. And in our blog post that was on CoffeePartyUSA.com, you know, we brought out lots of points that are surfacing, and there are many more. You know, one headline was Think Obamacare, Think Farm Bill, Think Big Oil, Think Corporate Welfare. You have the right to share your opinion about any and all of these and more. And now is the time. So, or, for example, don't just do a continuing resolution. Have some, you know, I don't like political theater. There's a statement. This is not what your constituents want, or this is what your constituents expect. And so, Laura, have you ever participated in any group action to try to show, you know, what's going on? how you
what
feel.
What do you mean by group action? Because you just gave me a 10-minute lecture. I went down and signed with two other people in the coffee party to overturn Citizens United. I signed petitions online. I'm very limited in what I can do physically because I have no transportation except the bus that only goes inside of Claremont County unless it's a medical appointment.
Right. So, I think that's great. So what you're saying is, yes, you've participated. And I think that's a good thing. Move On has a place where you can form petitions and people participate there. The White House has a place where people form petitions. Ultimately, though, do you feel heard? And I'm interested, the calling number is 646-929-2495. Do you feel heard? And what are you doing to be heard? So any final thoughts for us?
Well, it's not the heard, it's the listen to. There's a big difference between being heard and being listened to.
Huh. Well, which one do you prefer? Do you want to be listened to?
Yes, that's the hard part. You can get people to hear you, but it's the people who really listen to you are the ones that really mean something.
Right. And so have you ever participated in a communication with an elected that you felt listened to?
No, because it's hard to get past the bureaucrats.
There you go. So I encourage you to keep trying. You know, I think that's maybe that's our takeaway from today, that whether you feel like it's been successful so far or not, it's worth doing. Thanks, Laura. Thanks for calling, as always.
You're welcome.
So there was a question in chat, Debbie Lynn. You were having a conversation about why now?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We were trying to answer that one at the same time. And, right now we have lawmakers who are threatening to shut the government down just to stop funding everything else because they want to stop Obamacare from being implemented, which was the conversation, the debate happened 4 years ago.
Right.
And, and you and I talked about this earlier, and I love what McCain actually said, that, you know, we had this debate, that one side won and one side lost. The Republicans actually got 160 modifications to the original bill in committee, and they had another chance to defund it during the last presidential election or to not implement it. And the American people spoke and said, nope, we want it. We want, because we reelected President Obama. We lost. We need to move on. And shutting down the government is not the way to move forward on. This is not the way democracy works. So give it up. That's what he was talking to Senator Ted Cruz about. And so the reason that we are, having this show today and encouraging people to be in touch with your representatives to make sure your voice is heard and listened to, as Laura was pointing out, is because of this looming threat over both the debt ceiling crisis and defunding the government, because there's these people trying to make an ideological stand over a debate that started and they lost 4 years ago.
Right, right. You know, we have the possibility here for a perfect storm, which is if they delay or do a continuing resolution for the government, a short one, they can have the convergence of the debt ceiling question, the budget question, and, now I just forgot the third one. But the point is, we're creating, just as we have in Debt Crisis Part 2 and Debt Crisis Part 3 and Debt Crisis Part 1, is that we have this opportunity to inflate an issue that, absent a grounded conversation, absent my knowing what my priorities are in my federal budget, I can be swayed or convinced that there's nothing right that can be done here. We're in a helpless situation. Theater, spin. I think everybody gets that notion. And so I think it's now is important to let people know, for example, I expect a budget. I do not expect a continuing resolution. I expect to put this Obamacare thing to bed. I expect whatever it is your, maybe you don't feel like I do. Tell them what you think, because this isn't about me trying to tell you what to say. It's about me saying it's time to say, because I actually want the grassroots, the constituents, the electorate to have a serious impact in this collision of so events that's about to happen. And we have another hand up in area code 707. I'll come to you in just a second. 646-929-2495. Is there anything out there that means enough to you for you to contact our elected? 707, your mic is open. Welcome to Lunch with Loudon.
Hello?
Hello? There you are.
Yeah. You caught me with a mouthful of Cheerios.
Of course.
Is this Linda?
Yes, this is Linda. I got your email, and I was looking at the things, and I'm in some of the same boat that Laura's in, as far as, you know, I don't have a lot of finances. I don't, you know, and live in, do I pay my meds? Do I pay my food, get some food, that kind of thing. So, but I do work with a local party, and I have all my representatives on speed dial. I've met a couple of them. We can't get Feinsteiner Boxer to come up to Little Delmore County, but Jared Huffman did, and he's been pretty good. Actually, he just was elected, and he's been very good, actually, so far. He's my House representative. And but anyway, I'm always on their case. I'm always calling, doing the petition thing. And I just wish there was a way to get the people enthused. I mean, I do the Facebook thing. I do, you know, the things like Egberto said with the putting like John Stewart, if he has a really good way of looking at something, put it on Facebook, because people like him, and maybe they'll watch it and kind of get educated at the same time. You know, things like that.
So you sound engaged. I love the speed dial. That's pretty cool. I don't know what you call it on the iPhone when you just push their name and their number comes up. Is that speed dial or is that qualify? I don't know. But, yeah, my contact
well,
list
sounds
all.
Pretty, it sounds close.
I like
I'm sorry.
Speed dial. I'm going to use that. You know, it's so much more powerful than pushing your contact name. But I think it's wonderful. I think that what you said about, you started out saying, oh, I don't know, kind of did an Eeyore thing, and then you ended up with kind of a Tigger thing, saying, but, you know, I have these, I talk to these guys, I let them know, I communicate to celebrities through Facebook. I love that. I think that that's amazing. And I guess I'll go look for celebrities to friend, I don't know. But do you feel hurt? That was Laura's question earlier. Do you feel hurt?
On some issues, I think we finally got hurt on the Syria thing, because I think we were very close to sending in missiles. I'm still not sure we're out of the woods on that. But, you know, I think that enough people are just so totally fed up with constant war. Plus, Syria is so close to Iran, and then we get the Russia thing coming in. And it was just like, oh, God, here we go again. And, you know, I went to the, excuse me, I don't know if I feel hurt on some other issues, like, Senator Feinstein, I have a little more trouble with her than I do with Senator Boxer. She tends to be more, she's on the intelligence committee, so she sounded like she was more hawkish. So I'm not sure I felt heard, but I had my say. And I don't just limit it to just letting her know either. I try and get the word out via, you know, Twitter and Facebook and things like that so that a lot of people will do stuff like that. You know, I have a couple friends on Facebook that they see me post something and they'll right away do it too. So there's a couple, you know. As far as being heard, I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, no, no. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, basically, you know, on other issues, you know, they're more detailed. You know, the Obamacare thing. I mean, of course, I wanted either universal or single payer, but this is what we have. But I'm already starting to see the drawbacks. I mean, I'm glad that it passed. But I'm seeing the drawbacks of it being watered down. Like, for example, my son, okay, he's in another state, and it's one of those states that didn't do the expansion for the Medicare for the low-income people up to, like, $15,000 a year or something like that. Well, he doesn't make much. But he's just over that limit, and the state didn't approve it anyway, so it wouldn't make a difference. It might for his girlfriend, but he's asking me, okay, Mom, I voted the way you wanted, and now what do? I am gonna have to come up with almost $200, you know, a month that I didn't have to before, and I haven't done the research yet on the what do you call it when you get reimbursed or, you know, the government will give you a break. But I'm really hoping it knocks it way down. Things like that.
I think so does he live in a state where they're doing a public campaign against Obamacare, where there's a big advertising campaign against it? One of the things we're going to find, I think, is we're going to have a veil of truth lifted about what's going on, good, bad, or indifferent. We really don't know how it all manifests. All the data so far shows that this is an improvement, even though it's not what we want. And I posted yesterday on Join the Coffee Party Movement Facebook page a story about, or a sort of a mini blog about why I think, as a retired small business owner, I think that it's important to start and improve. I mean, kind of, you know, we're doing R&D, so to speak, about what does an American healthcare system look like? What could it look like, and what should it look like? And those of us that have had our bum on the line for producing a product or a service, and we never expect the first thing out the door to be perfect, and then we improve and grow. And again, this is where I believe communication between you and your elected, and between the grassroots and Washington D.C. or state capitals around the country is hugely important. We need to reinforce that all these things that we decide to do, all these things we take on, might be clumsy, but they're purposeful. And as a matter of fact, even in the potential war with Syria, you know, someone on NPR said, is it better to stumble to peace than to race to war? So was the way we got to where we are today elegant? I don't think so. But does it seem to be reflecting the will of the people? I agree with you that it is. And so, hooray, it may not have been pretty, but it's effective. And in business, I would hope that in government, you'd have the same attitude that business does, that small business, and this is small business, that you do your best, and every day you get up and you do better. And to me, that's a basic spark of American ingenuity. that you don't accept whatever you have in your hand today is the ultimate and the best. You always can do better. You always can improve. And I think that that's, if you want to talk pioneer spirit is not shooting your neighbor for crossing the property line. Pioneer spirit is always looking for what's bigger and what's better and what, you know, what serves. What serves. And so, I, you know, again, that's why I think now is the time to stay in contact with your elected.
This, well, and I just want to put a little a topper on what you're saying here. What I see that you're pointing to, Janine, is, you know, we're living in this culture of, like, of political warfare, of everybody. Like, if you're not spot on, the other side's going to just crucify you in the media. And the media is going to play along because that's how they get their ratings and make their money from their advertisers. And the attitude that's actually needed here to make this work is an attitude of experimentation. Like, we're all participating in this grand experiment to figure out how can we, in our culture, in the way that we want to do it in America, in the United States of America, deliver health care to the majority of our people. And, you know, because, you know, we're so afraid of socialized medicine that we don't want to do it that way and have single payer, God forbid. So we've got to do something with the free market to keep the insurance companies happy. And so we have to go into this experimental phase. And so so we're taking our first stumble or blunder into this Obamacare land. And if we could just keep that attitude of experimentation alive so that we can figure out, okay, this worked really well, this didn't work so well, so we're going to make this improvement, and keep that attitude of experimentation so that we could move forward instead of like, oh, you stumbled, you made a mistake, we got to shoot you now. It would be so much
right.
more helpful.
Well, and, you know, Obamacare is one place where we're stumbling forward, right? Falling forward,
mm-hmm.
if you will. But there are other places. Like, what is the formula? What is the strategy that will have economic recovery occur on your street as well as on Wall Street? What is the strategy for restoring confidence in our government? What is the strategy? All of these things are ongoing conversations. What will it take? I mean, obviously, Coffee Party has taken a stand with many others that money in politics is a huge barrier to integrity and in our willingness to support or believe in our government. That as long as the big donors have more to say about what's going on, directly or indirectly, than you and I do, when lobbyists have more to say than you and I do,
mm-hmm.
then what kind of confidence can we have that when these people that we've elected to represent us need to go suss out the nuts and bolts of a strategy, that they're thinking about, you know, your son, Linda, who's got to find another $200. I mean, I do think that part of what we need to communicate to one another and to our surrogates, our elected, is what our stories are and how these things are affecting us. And I think that's hugely important. You can sit down and write your email or do a phone call. I don't care how you do it. You can write a letter and let them take 2 weeks to open it, whatever. But they need to know what this is doing to people in their state, in their district, in their country. And then how else can they seek solutions? I mean, I don't expect them to be psychic. It's kind of like that old myth, if you really loved me, you'd know what I needed. Please. You know, that went out with Barbie in the 50s. but don't you think it's just as silly, you know? Or that, what was that terrible movie in the 70s? Love means you never have to say you're sorry. What is with this the idolization of non-communication? We need to communicate. And frankly, if anybody here can think of today, call in, share, write on our Lunch with Loudon Facebook page, go to the blog on coffeepartyusa.com and comment there. What more do we need to do to be heard? Oh, and by the way, I by oversight, one of our large collaborating relationships right now is with Move to Amend, and I have listed off Representatives and Root Strikers and Wolfpack, but I forgot Move to Amend, so my apologies. And Move to Amend, of course, is taking the stand that corporations are not persons and that money is not speech. So again, there's a plethora of ways to let people know or let your elected know, for the grassroots to communicate our stance for money in politics, for budgetary considerations, or Obamacare, or whatever you feel the need to communicate about.
Yeah, I had the Move to Amend people there at the convention, and they gave me a button, and the, you know, there was a, I went to the, not the Rules Committee, the committee where we're trying to figure out what our 10 priority statements are going to be. I forget what they're called, resolutions. And they didn't like the wording for the one that they were going with because it didn't exactly say that corporations are not people, or so I forget now what it was. It was this spring. And anyway, so I sat through a long, long meeting where they were hashing out all the details. And I think it pretty much got resolved fairly well. I was going to go to another meeting in July. I don't know what happened there, but it was interesting to see the process. You know, it's interesting. I understand the process is broken hugely, but it is still, I feel like I can do better within the system than just standing outside and shouting, this isn't right. Maybe I can make some small tweak here and there, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, sure. There's a time to represent yourself, and there's a time to participate with a group of like-minded people. So, Linda, as always, thank you so much for your call. Laura's put her hand back up, and would you like to stay live, or can I put you on hold?
Either way.
Okay. We'll see our sound quality. Drop your hand and then bring it back up if you want to come back in. Laura, I'm opening your mic again. You have your hand up, my dear. What do you have to say?
Oh, I just had to say, you know, Thomas Edison never would have got a chance to do the light bulb in this environment.
Well, that's a beautiful example. You know, and they say that his attitude was he never failed. You know, in his hundreds or thousands of attempts at creating a light bulb, he never considered it a failure when it didn't work. What he considered it was he now knew something he didn't know before and moved to the next trial.
Uh-huh.
And that is a brilliant addition to this conversation, because I think that's what an evolving society is always going to be faced with. And frankly, somebody's perfect plan is somebody else's good idea, is somebody else's, you know, napkin at a cocktail party. I mean, it's all different. It's all different. So, well, thanks for that. Thanks for that.
Like, you know, you got one group over here saying exactly the opposite of what the other group over there says. You'll never win with everybody.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Laura. I'm going to go to our new caller now, but thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
I'm opening the mic for area code 404. Welcome to Lunch with Loudon.
Hi, Janine. Hi, Debbie Lynn. Bobby Rodrigo. How are you today?
Hello,
hey, Bobby.
How are you doing?
Fantastic. I won't take too much of your time. I know it's getting late in your hour. I just wanted to say a couple of quick things. The Speaker of the House released a list of, I guess we'll call them demands or negotiating positions on what's going on in Washington right now that you're talking about, that we're aware of. And it's an extensive list. I just read it a little while ago. It includes postponing the Affordable Health Care Act for a year. It includes releasing the Keystone Pipeline to be built. It includes the stopping the EPA from initiating the new greenhouse gas emissions. There's about 15 items on it. Everybody needs to pop in and take a look at that so they can see what's getting ready to go on here in the next few days. As far as your activism and grassroots, I just want to let you know that on October 7th, based upon the acceptance and 7 sponsors from the City Council in Albany, New York, I'll be presenting the nullification for the indefinite detention provisions for the NDAA for National Panda at the direction of Daniel Johnson, who's been a guest on your show. Albany has agreed to enact that resolution. It's one of the strongest resolutions that's ever been presented on the issue, so I'm kind of excited about that a little. This should be interesting. It'll be my first time in the political process in a long time. I'm going to be in New York that day, so Dan asked me to be the representative for National Panda on the floor, so I'm getting ready for that. And then we have, I'm excited about that. I put the link in about the press release for it in the chat room earlier. It was my second post. And then I just wanted to remind everybody World Food Day is going to be celebrated October 12th. And March Against Monsanto is going to be worldwide again. We're marching in Georgia on the state capitol, and we're going to introduce legislation that's going to be put in when the legislature of the state of Georgia comes in session in January about GMO labeling. We just did the first link I put in there was Genetic Roulette by Jeffrey Smith. I've been promoting him lately. We brought him into Georgia. The Georgia activists did, and the Food Supply Rescue Coalition did, and we brought him to Georgia. I was able to interview him. I'm going to be giving that to Coffee Party. I represented Coffee Party on Free and Equal Elections when I did the interview. As soon as we finish editing it, as far as the outside noise and stuff, I'm going to put it out there so everybody can see it, as well as the entire conference that he did for us. It was a fantastic night. We had a huge turnout of activists. So it's working, people. Keep it up.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you so much. And, you know, you mentioned the World Food Day March. I just got a letter from Jeff Merkley, my senator, who said, hey, thanks to people like you, the Monsanto Protection Act, or what did they call it, is going to go away. And
yeah,
I really,
that was huge. Yes.
I know. You can speak to it as well as I can, but I have to tell you that, you know, Debbie Lynn and I spend a lot of airtime talking to people about this and time on our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think if anyone wants any example of grassroots sort of, you know, coming out of the lawn and sprouting like a weed, you know, this was one of them. And so congratulations to you, because I know you were personally involved in this, but also to me and to everyone else who took a stand about this.
And
that's what I'm talking about. Go ahead.
And I want to add, though, the work is not done, because here at the state level in Oregon, they're calling up a special session that's going to start on Monday for two main issues. One is to talk about the state pensions for the state workers and a tax raise and increasing taxes. So they're talking about cuts in taxes. And they snuck in on this special session that's only supposed to last one day. They snuck in a provision to eliminate local jurisdictions from being able to eliminate GMOs from their jurisdiction at the state level. Yeah, I know. So there's still work to do. And
you know that Washington State, right, your neighbor, has the 522 Act going on for GMO labeling,
and they're spending more money in the state of Washington than they did in California to prevent.
Yes, they are, and I think they know that Washington is serious about their activism. Just on the basis of the marijuana legalization alone,
right.
They know it. And I think if the last I checked, I think it was $4 million a week or something like that. It's really nuts. Totally. We've got to support
and
that.
Many of the big food companies are actually funneling their money through what I would call dark money through GMAs, Grocers and Manufacturers Association or something like that.
Another organization to
spend their money.
Matter of fact, just yesterday, I was reading how they caught, I don't know if it was caught is the right word, but how they pointed out to an organic farmer the fact that they were supporting the GMA who was actually against GMO labeling.
And
I don't think that organic farmer knew it or whatever it was, but the GMA is the biggest contributor to this, absolutely.
Right, and so a lot of the grocers and manufacturers are actually pumping money into this GMA organization, who's now anti-GMO labeling. So, yeah, there's a big fight happening in Washington. It's starting in Oregon, and so yes, we've won at this like national level, but it's moving to the states. So everybody, watch your states for it.
Right.
I'll tell you one thing that we learned that I thought that was great, real quick, from Jeffrey Smith when he did the hearing. One of the greatest things he said during his presentation was the reason that GMO was not successful in Europe back in 2004 mainly was because the public stopped it. And he suggested, he goes, as we fight, if we do not spend our money on GMO products, then the actual vendors are going to demand that they have access to non-GMO-free products. Just on the basis of what they make. It's consumer-driven. And it's a great point, everybody. So your activism can be done with your dollars as much as anything else.
Absolutely.
But I think it's amazing. And I think that we do need to be diligent. And certainly we can use our Lunch with Thought and Facebook page to keep sharing this information with each other. We got a question and post. Will you post a link to the Oregon special legislative session? And I will do that on our Lunch with Loudon page if we don't have it before we wind up today. We're getting close to the end of our hour. And I hope that people are left with some kind of sense that can make a difference, even when it doesn't feel like you're making a difference, and that making a difference is actually our jobs as citizens. It's not something you kind of pull out at Christmas time or, you know, it's really something you do every day. It is a part. Civic engagement is part of the definition of a good citizen. And so it might sound a little radical, but it's kind of like brushing your teeth after a while, yeah? So I want to take just a second here to remind you that there are other Coffee Party Internet radio shows put on by moi and others. Mondays, Dan Aronson hosts Press One for Democracy, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Tuesdays, Michael Charney and Eric Beiler, and a bunch of guest hosts that have been fantastic. Host The Middle Ground, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Thursdays, Lunch with Loudon, Evelyn Molyneux and Janine Loudon. Noon Pacific, hence lunch, and 3 p.m. Eastern, which means, I guess, coffee break. Saturday, Egberto Willis hosts Politics Done Right, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. It's not a conversation without you. I'm also going to remind you that Coffee Party USA is a totally grassroots, there's the word again, crowdsourced organization. Citizens United has not benefited us. If you'd like to become a member, go to www.coffeepartyusa.com, find the big red member button. If you'd like to donate rather than be a member, also www.coffeepartyusa.com. Click on Free the Electric and get a little gift from restaurant.com if you donate. This has been an amazing conversation. The notion is you matter. You are the grassroots. You are the constituents. You are the voters. And anything and everything that comes between you and your elected, your surrogate, your representative in Washington, D.C., is something that we need to define, you know, address, and take on full front, because that is the barrier to democracy as we know it in this republic. That is the barrier to the system of government working. So thanks so much, everybody. It's been a great conversation. Coffee Party on. Mm-hmm.